Welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back.
You know, Penny, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Rich. Jason actually has a 6-book set on creating wealth that comes with over 100 hours of the most comprehensive ideas on investing in business. They're in high-quality digital download audio format, ready for your car, iPod, or wherever you want to learn.
Yes, and by the way, he's recently added another book to the series that shows you investing the way it should be. This is a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Jason actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets that are untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches us how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
He's recorded interviews with Harry Dent, Peter Schiff, Robert Kiyosaki, Pat Buchanan, Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Dennis Waitley, T. Harv Eker, and so many others who are experts on the economy, on real estate, and on creating wealth.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered with a savings of $385.
Now, to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series complete with over 100 hours of audio and 6 books, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you.
It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Sam Milham to the show. He's an expert on dirty electricity. So we will get into that topic today and why it's important to you. Sam, welcome. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Good, good. You're coming to us today from Olympia, Washington. And tell us about dirty electricity. I mean, what makes it dirty? Is it different than not dirty electricity or clean electricity?
Yeah, absolutely. Dirty electricity is a term coined by the utilities. You know, they sell you 60 cycle sine wave power, if you look at it on an oscilloscope. And over the years, what's happened is all this electronic junk that people are using on computers and other machines add high frequency transients to the return currents. And since the utilities are dumping 80% of the return currents into the ground, the stuff gets into your house and into wires. And what it does is it rides into your house on the 60 cycle. And so if you look at an oscilloscope tracing of the 60 cycle, it's now rough, it's not smooth. And if you separate out the high frequencies, you can actually see how much of what you're getting into your house is dirty. So it's a really, the definition is it's high frequency voltage transients and harmonics.
Okay. Now, I want to ask you, before we get into why this is important, when did the dirty electricity start? Did it start with the era of the integrated chip, the integrated circuit, and modern electronics? Or did the utility companies start giving us dirtier electricity over the years? Was it better before? I mean, did this change at a certain time?
It all started with Edison.
Fair enough.
and he had a terrible problem with a generator brush arcing. You know, brushes are the device that picks up the electricity. They're called brushes because his initial brushes looked like brushes. They were stiff copper wires bent at the top.
Right.
I mean, now brushes are, you know, carbon or graphite blocks. But whatever, he had a terrible brush arcing problem. One of the things that makes dirty electricity is arcing or sparking or bad connections. Anything that interrupts electric current flow makes dirty electricity. That's why the modern devices with their switching power supplies in them are so dirty. But no, this dirt started way back with Edison, and you could see the effects of it, you know, right after the turn of the century when vital records got good enough so you could see changes in death rates. So it happened way back in 1892. The way I got onto this was I looked at vital records, are birth and death records, and the U.S. has had a fairly robust collection and system for counting every death. There's the only way out of this life is with a piece of paper being filed someplace, a death certificate. The undertaker usually fills it out, but whatever. I noticed looking at U.S. mortality starting, say, in 1900 and coming forward, that death rates from all causes, I mean, just went up astronomically starting, you can really see it in 1920, 1930, 1940. And the other piece of data that was instrumental in unraveling this was the Census Bureau, you know, when they come around to your house and ask, you know, who's there, they asked in 1920, 1930, 40, and 50, at those census, whether or not your house was connected to the grid. The interesting thing about the electric grid in this country is this, all the big cities had electricity, fairly sizable amounts at the turn of the century. The last farms in this country didn't get electrified until 1956. So you had half a century. We had two big populations in this country, one with electricity, one without, that were both covered by the death record system. So what I did is I looked at how the electrification percentages by state, they changed, of course, from 1900, from the early on to late. And as the electrification rates went up, so that the cancer rates, the heart disease rates, the diabetes rates, we're talking mortality, death rates. And so everything, you know, just got worse. And if you look at urban-rural differences, most of the rural areas in the 20s and 30s had no electricity. And some of the states, like Mississippi, 21% in 1930 of the residences had electricity, where the northern states had it fairly early. So you had huge urban-rural differences. So that's how really I got onto it and proved it.
And so what were the death rates? What were they caused by? I mean, specifically.
Yeah, that's the rub. I mean, how does this we thought, epidemiology, that's what I do. This modern epidemiology of electromagnetic fields started in 1979 with a study by Wertheimer and Leeper. They looked at kids who died of cancer in the Denver area and showed that if they had thick wires to the houses, which are a surrogate for high currents and therefore high magnetic fields, that they had a relationship. They looked at houses and categorized them by high current, low current, whatever. But so for starting in 79, for the next 20, 30 years, the people focused on power frequency magnetic fields. That's 50 hertz and 60 hertz in the U.S., 50 in Europe and other places. But I was never convinced that that was the critical variable because the risks were not that high. You might have gotten doubled or tripled risks. But like if two-pack-a-day smokers have 20 times the lung cancer rate of non-smokers. So In 2004, I was in that new winter residence in California. I read an article in the paper about a cancer cluster in a school, And I followed it up and published a paper on it. And what we looked at there was this dirty electricity. It seems that dirty electricity, a meter to read it was developed by Dave Stetzer, who's an industrial electrician, and Marty Graham, who's a professor of electrical engineering at Berkeley, emeritus, retired. They were studying sick cows. Cows weren't giving milk in the Midwest and in other places, and they tracked it to this dirty electricity, the high-frequency transients in the ground that was making the cows ill. You know, they were getting shocked. They wouldn't milk. And basically, they're the ones who really should get the credit for the practical discovery of the bio-effects of dirty electricity. So I knew about their meter, and luckily I got the California Health Department to measure the school that I was studying for cancer. And lo and behold, the reading of the dirty electricity in each classroom predicted the cancer risk of the teacher who taught in that room. So that was in late 2008, 2009, I published the paper. So since then, I've got some other papers in the process of getting published that show, I think the way it works is that these exogenous high-frequency fields cause currents in your body that are completely foreign, and your body doesn't recognize them and mounts a stress reaction to it. And chronic stress over a long period of time messes up all sorts of important biologic functions, like your immune system. But, you know, it's not just the cancers, it's heart disease, it's suicide, it's diabetes, are all tied to this. You get into the electricity, your blood sugar goes up. And I just sent off a paper last week that really shows almost conclusively that the current epidemics of obesity, you know, measured by body mass index, and diabetes measured by fasting plasma glucose, are caused by this, the current epidemics. And the ran into a paper just 5 or 6 months ago, published in 2011, two papers in The Lancet that listed the worldwide distribution of 199 countries by fasting plasma glucose, diabetes prevalence, and body mass index. The Gates Foundation paid for it, and they were published in The Lancet. If you look at the list of countries, I had to fall off my chair when I saw it. Of the top 10 countries, eight are islands, little islands out in the Pacific: Nauru, Cook Islands, Tonga, Samoa, Palau, Marshall Islands, Kiribati, and the other three places are Kuwait, USA, and another island in the Atlantic, St. Kitts and Nevis. Well, the island connection is almost certainly due to the fact that they're off-grid and they use these diesel generator sets for electricity.
So they're dirty, these islands?
They're very dirty.
Okay, so those are not good places then with a dirty electricity problem.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why there's high suicide and PTSD in our Iraq vets, because they spend $20 billion a year to air condition them, and they do that with these portable diesel generator sets. And they don't know how to wire them up either, because they're electrocuting the kids too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go with your theory that the dirty electricity is bad. But, you know, I just want to get further clarification. So not all electricity is dirty. We can have it around us. We can have the electricity and the electromagnetic current that it creates, because all electricity creates electromagnetic current that's in the air, right?
Right.
Okay. So we can have that as long as it's not dirty. Right? It's not all bad. It's just the dirty kind that's bad.
Well, you know, the animal study, people have studied the EMF business, you know, for 40 years now. And a lot of the experiments where they just exposed them to pure 60-cycle sine waves didn't show much of anything. When you get the high-frequency stuff, that's when you got the problem. So there probably are safe and clean ways to electrify. But the thing that's really concerning me terribly, like last winter down in California, I got involved in looking at photovoltaic solar and wind, and boy, are they filthy! And the if you use your solar cells to charge batteries and you use a DC system, that's fine. I find that the evil part of that is the inverters that tie it to the grid that change the DC that's generated to AC. They can match the 60 cycle in the grid. Those things are uniformly dirty, and they put out a whole lot of this stuff. I've measured dozens of houses and a couple big commercial solar operations, and they're horrible. And we're talking 20,000 units of dirty electricity when 50 gives some people symptoms.
So how do we know which electricity in our house is dirty and which is clean? And then I want to ask you, what do we do about it?
Well, you know, in my book, I got a book about this if people are interested. It's called Dirty Electricity. You get it from Amazon or Barnes & Noble for about $8. In the book, I say what you should do is go down to Radio Shack or get a cheap AM, FM portable radio, tune it to an AM station, or tune it to AM off station. We ordinarily get a little bit of static, and walk around your house for a test. Put your microwave oven on and listen to how far away the radio will howl. Anything that's putting out dirty electricity or high frequency transients will make that radio static. Decked phones or super band, the base of those puts out dirty electricity 24/7.
Deck phones, is that the brand name you mean?
No, DECT, that's a type of portable phone. It's digital enhanced cordless telephones.
Okay.
You go to big box stores, it's all you can buy. They don't sell the other ones.
So those are a big offender then?
Yeah, big offender. Compact fluorescent lights are a horrible offender. And every one of those just puts out a mess of this because it interrupts the current flow 20,000 times a second.
Right. So there you go, environmentalists. You know, you use these compact fluorescent bulbs, and then you increase the cancer rate. And how much damage does treating cancer do to the environment, right? It's just unintended consequences everywhere you look.
Another big source of it lately is these smart meters that they're slapping on houses everywhere. Everyone's a transmitter. And they all transmitters have switching power supplies, like the cell towers have them too. And they all put out dirty electricity, and it makes people sick.
Okay, so what do we do about it? How can we clean it up in our house?
In the house, you can do two things. So the best thing is like removal. If you have a baby monitor that's putting this out, you get rid of it. You put incandescents in for the compact fluorescents. You wire your router instead of a wireless router. If you still have dirty electricity in your house, it might be coming through the earth, through your ground rods, through your water pipes and gas pipes. You can purchase capacitor filters from Stetzer Electric, S-T-E-T-Z-E-R. He markets a meter that measures this. You plug it into the outlets and read it. And you try to get all your outlets down to 50 or less. And I've had dramatic success in people who've had remarkable diminution of symptoms, the kind of symptoms these give you.
Okay, wait. Before you go into symptoms, I'm not understanding. What do you do about it, though? How do you fix it?
Well, you fix it by you remove the offender if you can. If you can't remove all, if you still have dirty electricity in your house after you've gotten rid of all the gizmos that make it, then you can plug these capacitive filters in. They're called, he makes Stetzer, S-T-E-T-Z-E-R, makes Underwriters Lab approved filters. They're little plastic boxes. They're capacitors. You plug them into the outlet, and they short out the high frequency stuff, and they let the other stuff come through.
How much do those cost, by the way?
I haven't bought one in about five, but maybe $25, I'd guess. I don't know.
But you need one of these potentially for every outlet in your house?
Well, potentially, but like my house, I got by with both houses. I got by with under 10 because my house were fairly clean, and I got rid of all the junk.
Okay, so that device is available from Stetzer, right?
Exactly.
S-T-E-T-Z-E-R. I'm looking it up now as we talk.
But he also sells the meter that you plug in to see just how dirty each outlet is. I've been in some houses that every outlet needs them. Usually in most houses, you need... He markets a plug strip for the computer, and... Your computer's a major source of this. I've got two of these capacitors at my computer.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, I just wanted to let everybody know those are $35. I just looked them up. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, not bad.
Well, you've got on the website. You're quick.
Right. Yep.
Well, you know, they're made in China, and everything's expensive these days. Hey, it's a small price to pay.
Well, actually, they're less on Amazon.com. Well used. They're $25 on Amazon.
But anyway, that's the one tool we have at this point in time to change your, fix your residence up. What we really got to do as a society is to get the utilities to stop dumping the electricity into the earth for the return currents. You know, when the grid was built, all the electricity that came to your house went back to the substation on the wires. And with the advent of computers and other electronic gizmos that made this dirty electricity, they started getting house fires and office fires because the neutrals couldn't handle the high frequencies. High frequencies don't run on wires as well as the low frequencies do, so-called skin effect that runs on the skin of the wire. And so you need thicker wires. So they changed the building codes to require houses to have thicker return and neutral wires. They're connected at the service box to the ground, and the ground is connected to the ground rods and also to the neutrals on the utilities wire poles. You go out now and look at the utilities, their transformers on the poles, those gray pots. The center tap, there's three taps on them. There's a wire running from that to the earth at almost every pole and at every transformer. So they send 80% of that stuff back to the substation through the ground. So what happens is people who live around the substations, their ground is getting hotter and hotter. I measure it here at my house out in the sticks, 5 volts in the ground at almost any time. And in some places, it's up in the 20s.
Okay, so you buy the Stetzer meters. Well, you buy the Stetzer filters, and you know it looks like a Stetzer meter is $99, right? And this is a device. This device is not working through the air, the meter. It's something you actually plug into the wall, right? And then you plug it in each outlet, and it tells you how clean it is. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's how it works, and it's just an ingenious device. It's no batteries or anything. On the utility power, but it measures what we're really concerned about is that how much dirt do you have in the wires in your house? Mm-hmm. You see, your electronic junk puts the dirt electricity into the wires and it circulates throughout your house.
Right.
Like I plug in a fending, I got a halogen light I plug in here in my living room, and makes all the other outlets in my house hot and via the wires, and then the stuff goes out into the grid and into the ground.
So is it possible to have a Wi-Fi wireless network in your home and a cell phone, or are those all dirty too?
I own a cell phone. I keep it in my pocket. It's always off. I've never used it against my head. It's always on a speakerphone. I wouldn't let kids use them. I'd never put one up against my head. No wireless networks in your house or in your office. Those are just bad news.
So you can't have Wi-Fi. Boy.
No, you can't. You can have it if you want, but they're putting it in schools. It's making kids terribly ill. In Canadian schools, they've got these cardiac defibrillators around because the kids are getting heart problems. So no, wireless is just an anathema. And the cell towers are a terrible problem in neighborhoods because it's not the radio frequency coming off the transmitter. All transmitters have switching power supplies, especially the cell towers. They take the AC from the utility. They change it to DC to charge the batteries that they use for emergency backup and to power the transmitter. I studied a school in California, which is in my book, and showed that most of the kids in the school had ADHD from that transmitter, and I could get rid of it just by filtering the outlets in the classroom. Teachers also had cancer, a lot more cancer than they should have had. And it was due to the dirty electricity from that tower, not the radio frequency coming off the top.
So if we really, the problem with dirty electricity is coming from the utility company, and so we can solve that with the filters, first meter, right, then filter, and then the other things, cell phones and Wi-Fi networks. But well, once we get past the filter, though, if we plug in a compact fluorescent bulb, we're going to create our own. See, the one issue is the dirty electricity you get from your utility company. And the second issue is the dirty electricity we create on our own, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's assume we've solved it from the utility company. We bought the meter, we metered things, we filtered what we needed to. That job is done. Hopefully we got away for $300-$400 and we achieved that, okay, in our home. Then what do we do to avoid creating it? We don't use compact fluorescent bulbs or maybe any fluorescent bulb. I hate fluorescent lights, by the way. And we don't use halogen. either?
It all depends. I mean, I've checked the number of lights. I got one little halogen light here that puts out. I mean, it's so bad. I use it for demonstrations. You know, it's got a little automotive DC 12-volt bulb in it, and it takes the 120-volt line current and has a little black box half the size of a pack of cigarettes in the lamp base that makes the change, and it just puts out a terrible AC hum and it pegs the Stetzer microsurge meter instantly. In fact, I had to have Dave make me a special one that goes up to 20,000. The one you buy from him pegs out at 2,000 units. You know, the other problem is I was in an office building for a deposition a couple of weeks ago, 40 floors. Every light in the place was a compact fluorescent light. Every office had a computer in it, and the place was just fiendishly hot. So workplaces, that's why secretaries and office people have these high cancer rates and high mortality rates. It's the dirty electricity. Hospitals are just about the worst offender I find. Isn't that a paradox?
That is a total paradox. It really is. Okay, so what about the issue here with fertility rates and dirty electricity?
Well, I noticed when I was doing the death studies, on the same page in the vital statistics volumes, you get birth rates and death rates. I noticed that they were connected. Any time the death rates went up, the birth rates went down by state and by place. So I checked into this, and there's a large literature that the economists put together when they electrified third world places. In every single case, the fertility drops like a shot. And they've shown in this country, if you use the laptop on your lap or put a cell phone in your pocket, your sperm counts go down. And I think the explosion of fertility clinics in this country is due to this dirty electricity and other electrical pollution in our environments.
Sam, though, to be fair, though, this isn't a control group type of study. You've mentioned several things, and I believe you, okay? But I just wanted to kind of present a little balance here. I mean, there are so many other factors, like when you say, well, they've electrified these third world countries, and then the birth rate drops. Well, the birth rate also drops because of prosperity. I mean, generally speaking, when there's less infant mortality and there's more prosperity, I mean, people have fewer kids. It's just sort of a natural evolution of things, if you want to call it evolution, right? So it's not just, this isn't all happening in a vacuum. You know, like the suicide rates of Iraqi and Afghanistan vets and just other people in general, and rates of depression and certainly diabetes. Look at people's diets and their lack of exercise. And you say secretaries have high cancer rates. Well, they're also sitting around all day on the rear end, and they should move and get some exercise. And you know, there's a lot of other factors here, to be fair, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right on. But with the third world countries, their fertility rates drop way too quick for it to be a social thing. And they happen like within months of turning the switch on.
Wow.
And with cows, I'll tell you a little story about the cows. Stetzer cleaned up a bank in someplace in the Midwest. And about 2 weeks later, this dairy farmer looked him up and said, "What the hell did you do?" This guy had a dairy farm with a big herd about a mile away from the school. Stetzer filtered the school with, I don't know, 500 filters, and he cut down the dirty electricity, not only at the school, but was running down through the ground to this guy's farm. And the day he filtered the school, his cows each gave 10 pounds more milk a day. That's a lot of milk, and that's how it goes. So there's an instantaneous control on, it's not just the milk, that the cows were aborting, and they stop aborting. And here's my control group. The Amish have lived in this country since 1700, 1737, they came over. They're a Mennonite sect, and the Old Order Amish shun electricity. They think it's evil. So they, when they buy a house out in the country or a farm, they rip the wires out. That's the first thing they do. They don't use cell phones, any electronic junk, no electricity. They've had a life expectancy over 70 years since the 1700s, when people in New York City, which was electrified, were dying in their 40s. They don't have any ADHD in their kids, no childhood obesity in their kids. And this is published. It's going to be in the second edition of my book. The other thing that's interesting about them is the
You know what also I'd say? They're not taking all these stupid prescription drugs either in this over-diagnosed, over-prescribed society we live in where the pharmaceutical companies are just trying to make a buck. You know, that's another thing I'm really just convinced of is that these drugs, yeah, it's just unbelievable.
They have big, greasy, fat, gravy diets and a lot of sweets and pies. And yet, there's no obesity in their kids. The kids do exercise, but no ADHD. This one group of pediatricians who take care of a whole bunch of these people in the Midwest have never seen a single case of ADHD. 7% of kids in this country take Ritalin for it. The other thing about them is their diabetes and blood sugar rates are about 40% of ours. Their cancer rates are less than half of ours. And these are living side by side with us. The only thing that they don't use electricity, but unfortunately, the ground currents are starting to get them because their cows are suffering too out in the country from the same problem that the non-Amish farms have out there. My friend Stetzer tells me that. So I'm absolutely convinced. And you talk about the suicide rate. I get this one paper, it's called Historical Evidence that EMF Caused all These Diseases. Why would the suicide rate be five times higher in the urban area in the same state where the rural areas are one-fifth the suicide rate? Why would the state's suicide rates go up in sync with their electricity? And childhood leukemia is the first disease I studied, and I showed that there's a peak at age 2 through 4 of the most common type of leukemia, common acute lymphoblastic leukemia. That peak didn't exist in places in this country until the 20s, and it still doesn't exist in places like sub-Saharan Africa where they don't have electricity. And as we electrified, here comes the peak, and it shows that about 80% of that leukemia is attributed to electrification. Nobody's done anything with that. That's 15-year-old stuff.
One final question I want to ask you about on this subject is economic booms and depressions and dirty electricity and health.
Well, you know, there's been a paradox that the economists have been writing about for 70, 80 years. They've noticed that the health indicators, the death rate goes down, the calculated life expectancy goes up during recessions. During depressions, they noticed in World War II, for example, when the Nazis occupied Northern Europe, that the death rate went down. They attributed it to the fact that there was a caloric restriction, that people weren't getting enough food. But I just sent a paper out. It's hasn't been accepted yet, but it's a good one. It shows that for every recession in this country historically, every time you get a recession, you get a death rate drop, and for every boom, you get a death rate increases, and you get just the opposite with life expectancy. The thing that's really exciting about that is it puts a lie to the long latency, because it happens right away. People say it takes 20 years to get cancer. Well, the cancer rates change within a year. So do the heart disease rates, the suicide rates. They change. All the causes of death change dramatically within a year. And I looked at Cuba when the Russians pulled out. Their electricity went into a tank, and their life, their indices of health and well-being improved dramatically right away. So, I showed the major correlation is with industrial electricity utilization. That's what gets dropped off. The motors of industry stop turning when you get a depression, and that really is controls the electricity flowing into the grid, because most of the users, half the electricity used is for turning the wheels of the motors.
Yeah, the problem is nobody wants to give up prosperity. You know, everybody likes to have their stuff and their conveniences, and all of those things have consequences, I guess.
If there's smart ways of doing it, and the biggest thing we could do is somehow get the government to force the utilities back to the old rules. Like I could show you California Public Utility Commission rule. I can send it to you if you want. Saying thou shalt not use the earth as a primary neutral return, and it's not done in Europe. It's not done in UK or the Netherlands.
And when you talk about the earth and the neutral return, is that the ground? Electricity needs to be grounded, right?
The stuff you walk on.
No. But I mean the ground that avoids shock. Like there's three prongs on the plug. There's the ground plug on some of them. Is that what you're talking about? Is that the neutral return?
Yeah, what I'm talking about is the neutral or the ground. You look at the electric plug, it's got the two hot vertical slits, and it's got the round one. That's the ground. Now, that's attached at your fuse box to the little green plug, a green contact that's usually a screw that's painted green. That's your ground. Now, that is attached to the utility neutral and also to your earth ground rod, okay? Now, what the utility has done is once it gets out onto their wires, they dump it into the ground. So what happens is when you stick your finger into the neutral, there's some devices, for example, there's a guy markets an earthing blanket. You plug this blanket into the ground in your house, and it's supposed to discharge the bad juice in your body. Unfortunately, it's putting all the dirt that's in the utility neutral right into your body. It's just like going out hooking yourself to the neutral wire on a pole. So sure, they're all the same. And to prove that it works, in rural places, they used to have these single-wire earth return systems. They'd put one wire with all the electricity going out to the load, and all the returns would come back through the earth. So it works. It's very efficient. You don't know where it's going, but it all gets back to the substation.
Well, hey, thank you for joining us today. This is a very interesting topic. And give out your website.
The website is www.sammelham.com. And the book is called Dirty Electricity. Amazon's got it for $8, and Barnes & Noble has it on the shelves.
Dr. Sam Milham, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much.
What's great about the shows you'll find on jasonhartman.com is that if you want to learn how to finance your next big real estate deal, there's a show for that. If you want to learn more about food storage and the best way to keep those onions from smelling up everything else, there's a show for that. If you honestly want to know more about business ethics, there's a show for that. And if you just want to get away from it all and need to know something about world travel, there's even a show for that. Yep, there's a show for just about anything. Only from jasonhartman.com, or type in Jason Hartman in the iTunes store.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.